You know, I love teaching. I love, it's my favorite. But I had the Lord put something a little differently on my heart today. It may end up being teaching anyway, I don't know. But I just feel like the Lord put something different on my heart. And so right now, Lord, we just give honor to your word and what you're desiring to speak to us this morning. And we open our hearts to hear you. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Speak to me. Speak to me what you want to say to me. And we thank you that you always have what you want to say to us. Personally, yes, but also as a corporate body, you have something you want to speak to us when we come together. And so we thank you for that. And we just give honor to that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn with me to 1 Kings, you can turn to chapter 18. Ahab was the king of Judah at the time. He was a wicked king. Chapter 16:30 says that he did more evil than all the kings before him. In fact, in a later verse, it says that he provoked the Lord more than any other king. And it said in 16:31, if it wasn't bad enough that he was more evil than all the other kings, as if that wasn't bad enough, he married Jezebel. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, E-T-H, and then Baal, B-A-A-L. And he carried the name Baal because he was a priest of Baal. So Jezebel's daddy was the king of Sidon and the priest of Baal. So Ahab marries Jezebel, and it says in verse 31, he went and he served and worshiped Baal as well. And as king, he also influenced the people of Israel, the people of Judah, to worship as well. It said he set up an image of, one translation says Baal, and in your footnotes it may say Asherah. But all of those different idols, they were called the Baals. They were kind of all of the same Baal family, okay? The worship of it kind of flowed back and forth. And so Ahab set up an image of Baal and influenced Judah to worship the Baal. So it was a very critical time in history for God's people. Now in chapter 17, Elijah prophesies drought to Ahab. And in chapter 18, the Lord tells Elijah to go meet with Ahab, to present yourself. He wanted him to confront Ahab and tell him God's going to send the rain. So let's pick up here. In, I think all of you know this story. I just read it a few weeks ago in our Sunday afternoon class. I love the story, but we're going to read it again, okay? Okay, chapter 18, verse 17, we'll start there. So God has told Elijah to go and meet with Ahab. And so verse 17, it happened when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And Elijah answered and said, I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Let me see how far I want to keep going. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull, lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself, prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, which was given them. They prepared it, called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. And there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped around the altar that they had made. So it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry loud, he's a god. He's meditating, or maybe he's busy, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep and needs to be awakened. So they cried loud. They cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied till the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed, which is approximately 18 quarts. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and pour it on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. Then he said, do it a third time. They did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and it also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day, you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and I've done these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. And it did rain. Okay, it rained. It did rain. The very beginning of chapter 19, I just want to read a few verses here. Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done and how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. When he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Then he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Yeah, I used to wonder how Elijah could have had such an outrageous moment with God and then be running for his life. I mean, he got word. Basically, at that point, it's a rumor, you know. He heard what she had said. She sent word. And I used to wonder, why would he just take off like that? I mean, he'd just seen fire fall from heaven, and he'd just seen God move so miraculously. Listen, the fire burned the stones. The fire burned up the ashes. It said the dust, but it was the ashes that were left. The fire burned up ashes too. It burned. There was nothing left. Why would he run like that? And I got a hold of something from the Lord. Elijah had come under great attack. You know, these were idols, okay? Because they were idols, we don't think so much of that, like just a little statue, okay? We don't think so much of it. But they worshiped them. They gave honor to them. They gave place to these demonic principalities and powers. These were ancient pagan religion. This was ancient pagan religion. And what they're worshiping, they're actually worshiping fallen angels. You know what fallen angels are? Demons. And so they're worshiping, so there is a real demonic power that's coming against Elijah. You see this? So when Elijah confronts these demonic spirits, these principalities and powers and so forth, when he confronts this stuff, then demonic attack was released against him, as well as Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess. She also said she's going to kill him. Here's the deal, though. This was like this great attack over Elijah's mind. And that's what I want us to hear today. Elijah flees into the wilderness, a whole day's journey, goes and sits under this tree. He's depressed. He's in despair. He's disillusioned. He's discouraged. He feels defeated. He's ready to kill himself. I mean, he just wants to die, not kill himself, but it says he wants to die. And after all this major thing with Mount Carmel, and the attack that was brought against him was brought against his mind, his thinking, his emotions. He was probably bombarded with a bazillion thoughts. Has anybody ever been in that place? Come on. I mean, I don't know who hasn't necessarily been in that place. He goes on, he says, he went and sat down under a broom tree. Other translations, and if you look it up, it says a juniper tree. Now, in this particular scripture, if you'll study it out, so there is a little teaching here. In this particular scripture, the juniper tree represents a place of renewal, rejuvenation, a place of healing, a place to be made whole again. It means, it also said this, a tree of rest, renewal, and hope. For Elijah, the juniper tree was a picture of respite, of refreshment for his next assignment. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, he maybe didn't realize all that about the juniper tree, okay? He may not have had any idea all these, I'm going to rest under this tree, you know. He may not have realized all of that. But that's what it actually meant. Verses 5 through 16, let's look at that just a minute. As he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals. Listen, an angel came, baked a cake on coals for him, and brought a jar of water, and awakens him. And so he ate and drank, and then he laid back down again to rest again. And then the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food that the angel had made for him for 40 days and nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. Now let's stop there for just a second, I think. Nope, let's keep going. I have a reason for where I'm stopping or not stopping. Okay. Here, at this place, stop and think about it. If you'll look at this, Mount Horeb is actually Mount Sinai. What do we know about Mount Sinai? I mean, we know it as the mountain of God. That's where Moses was to meet God. That's where God wanted to meet the children of Israel, to speak to them there. So he goes and he hides in a cave at Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God. And it says, the word of the Lord came to him, verse 9, and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, the Lord said to him, go and stand out on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake came. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. How many of y'all would still be standing there? But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Same thing he had asked before. And Elijah said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And the Lord said, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, anoint Jehu king over Israel, and Elisha you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Elisha would succeed him. Okay, let's stop there. That's a whole lot of reading that took place, but I can't say it better than the Bible just said it, really. So, he goes and sits under this juniper tree. Then the Lord sends an angel to awaken him. Like, wake up. Wake up. You're under attack. Wake up. Get out of this funk. Anybody ever felt like that? Okay? Anybody ever been in a funk? Awake. And then he fed him. He ministered to him this cake and this water. This cake that he'd made and this jar of water. And then he let him sleep and rest again. Come on, is that just like the Lord? He let him rest. And then it says, he goes back and says, awake. And he gave him cake and water to drink. The journey is so great, you're going to need this for sustenance to go that 40-day journey. And he did. He went in the strength of it, it says. Goes to Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God, where God had spoken to Israel, and God wants to speak to him. A very significant place. And God speaks to Elijah, gives him his next assignment. You know, I was asking the Lord, why is this stirring in my heart so much? What does this have to do with us? Why is this stirring in my heart? Why can't I get off of this? I mean, I haven't been able to get off of it for a few weeks. Why can't I get off of this? And the Lord said, Israel was in a very critical hour at that time, a very critical hour. You know, they were all mixed up. They wanted to serve God, but they wanted to serve Baal too. And he said, the church today is in a critical hour as well. They want to serve God, but they're serving the Baals too. I mean, they're after all kinds of things in the world. Now, I'm not saying that any of us have actually come to Mount Carmel, okay? I don't know if any of you have ever had a Mount Carmel experience, all right? I'm not saying that. But here's what he said to me. He said, daily you confront and deal with things that you don't even realize the significance of what you're dealing with. Daily, you're dealing with things you don't even realize the significance of what you're dealing with. What about whenever you just are obeying the Lord? That's all that Elijah was doing. He was obeying God. He said that in his prayer. Lord, I've obeyed what you told me to do. Whenever you're just doing the will of the Lord. How about when you confront the enemy in situations? How about when you confront compromise? How about when you confront lukewarmness? How about when you confront a spirit of religion? Or like Trey, how about if there are kids who get saved from a football team who are baptized on the football practice field? How about when you're having to deal with the backlash from that he's still dealing with? How about, what about when you're confronting something like that and coming up against stuff like that? Those kinds of demonic spirits that are working through people and systems, you know? Maybe you just had an amazing encounter with God. Maybe God just revealed something so powerful to you. Or maybe you just had this amazing breakthrough in your life. Maybe you're just in a very vulnerable place. You know, think about all these different scenarios that it could be. The enemy is looking for opportunity to bring attack. And the attack he wants to bring is right here against your thought life, bombarding you with thoughts, bombarding you with stuff. You'll never this, you'll never that. Your best days are over. You'll never move forward. You'll never do anything again. He wants to bombard your thought life. He wants to bombard your emotions. Bombard, get you so hung up in your feelings. And the thing of it is a lot of times, y'all, we don't even realize it. I'm just feeling some kind of way. You know, I'm just in kind of a funk. I'll be all right in a minute. I'm just this or that. You know what I'm saying? We don't even realize there's actually been a demonic attack against our mind. We didn't even realize it. You're just thinking, you know, I'm okay. The key, though, is these demonic spirits are still alive and well, and they come to attack, to control and manipulate my thinking, my thought life, to distract you from God's will, to dissuade you, to discourage you. Some of the things you might feel, discouragement, disappointment, depression. You may not want to take your life, but just kind of, whatever. You may want to quit, not on God, but just kind of back away from, maybe I just need to back off from ministry. Maybe I'm done. Maybe I just don't need to do this anymore. Maybe it's backing away from a dream or a desire or something God's put in your heart before. Maybe you just don't feel like you can hear the Lord. Maybe you feel indifferent, like, whatever. Confusion, despair. Uncertainty, disillusionment. You can't concentrate on reading your Bible. You can't concentrate on praying. Maybe you feel tired, unusually tired. And like I said, oftentimes you just think, well, it's just me. It's just me. I'll be all right in a minute. This is the same kind of attack Elijah was under. And I want you to see this because it really grabbed my attention that he ran a day's journey, sat under this tree. The angel of the Lord wakens him, like, come out of it, you know. Arise and eat. So he's ministering to him. He lays back down again. He rests some more. And then the angel says, wake up, eat. You're going to need this for the journey that's ahead. And he arose, ate, traveled 40 days and nights in the strength of that, and got to the place where his heart could be realigned to hear the Lord. He needed to hear the Lord's voice. Oh, that was hard to say. You know, when you're in a funk, it's hard to hear his voice, isn't it? And the Lord gives him that renewed sense of purpose. And by the way, when I first read it, I'm like, oh, wow, go prophesy to the, go anoint the prophet who's going to take your place. Like, great, I am going to die. You know? But actually, he raised Elisha up and mentored him for approximately 6 or so years. So before he was carried off in a whirlwind, and then Elisha took his place. You know, a lot of times when you're not one who's spiritual, I'm not a lazy person, and I don't think of myself as spiritually lazy. I love the Word. I love to pursue the Lord. And so when something happens and something like this kind of comes over you, you really don't realize that you need to be awakened and realize it's an attack. You know, I had this happen to me some time back. I really did. And I'm speaking to you from some of my own experience. In my mind being so bombarded with, maybe I just need to step aside. But y'all, everything in me was like, I can't see me ever doing anything else. I guess I'll be doing it till I die, you know? I'm serious. I'm like, I used to have a thing with Jonathan. Y'all aren't laughing. I had a thing with Jonathan, and I would say to him, do not let me keep standing up here as an old woman, and everybody's out there like, dear Lord, when will she ever retire and shut up, you know? I used to tell him, please don't let me do that. He's, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Well, now he's gone. Jason, don't let me do that, okay? Y'all don't let me do that. Mike, don't let me do that. Miss Joy, it's time to go. You need to go on to the beach or somewhere. Yeah. But I did. I came under this, and here's the deal. I know what the word says. I would cast down imaginations. I'd say, that's a lie. No, God said. And then my mind would begin to just, you know, it's not like I did that all day long, but it was on and off all throughout my days. You know, maybe it's time for you to really reconsider. Maybe you're done. I think I even said something to you about it. Am I done? I asked the Lord, am I done? He never would answer me on stuff. And I would take authority over thoughts and ideas and things. I would do the things I knew to do. I would specifically declare the things I knew He had said for me to do. I would do all those things. I would pursue God and pursue God. Oh God, you know. And I wasn't hearing Him. Okay? And one day I got still. I must have got under a broom tree. But I got still. And when I did, I heard I really did hear just a slight whisper. You're under attack. And I went, oh! And it was just like a pow. Wake up! You're under attack. And I began to deal with it from that perspective. I'm telling you, it's real. It's very real. I was sharing things with you. Maybe they weren't all the things that I dealt with. But we need to be awakened and realize and address the enemy and allow the Lord to strengthen us. And then we need to really be pursuing His presence and pursuing hearing His voice. You know, Elijah didn't hear God's voice in all of those extravagantly outrageous landish, you know, things like an earthquake and so forth. He didn't hear God's voice in that. He didn't. It was the still small voice that he heard. And I felt like the Lord was bringing attention to the fact that, listen, what happened on Mount Carmel was me. It was outrageous, Elijah. That was a wonderful, wonderful, powerful, spectacular thing that was done. But between me and you, Elijah, between us, it's a still small voice. I am that one. And that's surely for us inside. He lives in us. We're in a better, superior covenant. He lives inside of us. Amen. And it's that still small voice where we can hear. A lot of times we're doing the same thing. We're looking. I'm not saying Elijah was looking for it, but God was showing him it's not in those things. But a lot of times we're looking for it in the spectacular. You know, I'd have been okay if God had just shown up some way in the room or thus saith the Lord and really done something. You know, I mean, I'd have been fine with that. It wasn't that. It wasn't any of that. It was when I got still, when I got quiet one day. I'd run out of, oh God, help. Look, I can't tell you how many times I would say, Lord, forgive me. What if and then I'd be like, I don't know what I'm asking to be forgiven of. I don't know what I did. You know, you can't really repent if you don't know what you did, can you? What are you turning from? And I would hear that on occasion. Well, what are you turning from? What are you repenting for? I don't know. Tell me. Tell me. Too much information, right? No, I think you need to know. I've dealt with things too. See, the enemy would like for you to think it's over. I'll never be used again. My greatest days are behind me. But the Lord is saying, uh-uh, wake up, address the attack, be strengthened. Your greatest days are ahead. And I would say that to you personally, and I would say that to Church on the Rock, and I would say that to the church at large. The church at large needs to wake up. Needs to wake up. God wants to renew our sense of purpose and hope. Amen? And you know, another thing is it was not a once and done thing. You know, I like things like this, right? Don't we like to pray and it's done just like this? Sometimes it's just not a once and done thing. There's a journey getting there oftentimes. He said, awaken, gave spiritual food, then there was rest, then he woke him again, then there was 40 days and 40 nights journey, and then he goes into the cave of the mountain of the Lord. So sometimes it's a journey to get where we're needing to get to. I like the once and done personally, but I'll never forget the still small voice either. Amen. I'll never forget him. And he was so kind to me. You know, I kept expecting him to speak to me and rebuke me for something. Or I was in trouble for something. I really did. Think about what kind of mindset that is, y'all. Think about that. What kind of mindset is it that when you think God's going to talk to you, he's going to spank you or rebuke you? Unless you just live in disobedience all the time, why would you feel that way? That's a wrong mindset. Really is. It's a wrong mindset. Now, if I need rebuking, I need rebuking. And I usually know it when I do. You know? How many times did your mama or daddy totally catch you off guard and you didn't know you'd done something wrong? And you were absolutely shocked? Not often. Probably, maybe never. You already knew. I'm so thankful for that still small voice and his kindness to me. And then he said to me, I want you to rest. I want you to rest. That was the word he gave me. And I want you to learn what rest means. Because I obviously don't know. Not like I should. I got bits and pieces, but obviously I don't really know what it means. So I want to say this to us this morning. God's not done with you and he's not done with me. He's not done with Church on the Rock and he's not done with the church in the world, in the earth. He has a great plan for every one of us in this hour. And I think that the word of the Lord would be, awaken church, arise and be strengthened, arise and pursue his presence, which is what Elijah did. He pursued him. He went to the mountain of the Lord, and in his presence, hear his voice again. And quit looking for all the spectacular or for him to chew you out. Listen to that still small voice and then be renewed with hope and purpose for his assignment for moving forward. We've got some wonderful days ahead. I'm not saying they're all going to be easy days. I'm not saying that at all, but we belong to the Lord. And in our union with him, we have everything we need. Amen? In and through that union with the Lord, you have everything you need. You just want to stay in that place of union, right? You want to stay in that place of union. So I want to give opportunity if anyone wants prayer. Maybe you've been through something like this as well. And I want to pray for you. Because I'll tell you, it's not a fun place when you're in the middle of it. I think Elijah might have been borderline freaking out, you know, in the despair. And maybe you've already been through some things like that. And maybe you're on the other side and screaming victory, you know. But if you are, I want to pray for you. I just shared my guts. I get to share my guts. Y'all know all about me. And my mess ups and so forth. I'm not wanting to know about yours. I'm just wanting to pray with you, and let's get beyond these things. So if there's anybody that wants prayer, come on. Anybody. Or if you need prayer for any other thing.